Flyover Politic Podcast, the show for normal Americans. From this undisclosed bunker, here's your host, Tony Reed. From coast to coast, campus to campus, protests are growing louder in solidarity. Students are also joining in at UC Berkeley.
Quite frankly, I think it's important that people start to align themselves with Palestinian resistance.
Here at Columbia University, the seventh day of protests, demonstrators want the school to divest from all business that supports Israel.
I think that it's time to divest from those weapons manufacturing and re-divest them into other important things.
They're also demanding amnesty for all students who have been punished.
Is the goal to stay here until those demands are met?
Yes.
And as you can see behind me, demonstrators both on and off campus are still demanding to be heard. Meanwhile, they're going calls for the university's president.
And so, be glad, be grateful that I'm not just going out and murdering Zionists. I've never murdered anyone in my life, and I hope to keep it that way. I genuinely hope to keep it that way.
And welcome back to Flyover Politic Podcast. It's the 27th of April, year of our Lord, 2024. I am sick as shit. This is day three of I don't fucking know what I have, but it sucks. Went and saw my little brother in Nashville. God, it was good to see him. I missed him. And somehow, some fucking way, it's not COVID, but it's worse than COVID. I'd rather have COVID, for the record. COVID better than what I have. Whatever I have is a hantavirus, and I can't get rid of it. I've been ODing on medicines. It started out as a sore throat, worse than COVID sore throat, and then it just turned like ugly. And one day I had so much boogerage that I couldn't even tolerate it. And the next thing I know, I literally, I'm coughing. I woke up in the middle of the night, sweats. I mean, literally the wife woke me up and I was drenched and sweat. I mean, just not a little sweat. We're talking full-fledged, head-to-toe, sheets, sweaty. What changed the sheets? Had a fever, coughing, OD'ing on some more medicine. The first time I've never worked out since I got my stomach problem. My stomach still hurt, but it wasn't as bad because everything else hurt worse. And today was the first time I could go out. I did a workout. Took 2 days to get here. And the pollen is so bad outside, that was stupid. But I did a 4 mile walk. Yesterday I walked in the gym. That was dumb. I got like 24 minutes, was hacking so hard. I knew everybody was staring at me. So, yeah, this sucks. Not feeling good, but I wanted to get a show in because there's so much good shit to watch. So, we start out with the Hamas stuff. And I wanted you to see the beginning. That is not in any broadcast, nor is the rant by this crazy motherfucking dude chick who is like one of the leaders. And I think the thing that's just so funny to me, all right, is the fact that we're back into that hypocrisy again. That January 6th was worse than the war of 1812, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and anything else you could possibly think of, But these people are the greatest Americans we have. So we're going to start with, why are we protesting?
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it.
Why are we protesting? Now, understand, I have plenty of film that I'm going to show in a bit of violence in the protesting. But this is what we're doing again. Because once again, it's okay one way, it's not the other. Here's Ray.
Are you actively monitoring these protests?
We don't monitor protests, but we do share intelligence about specific threats of violence.
We don't monitor protests. We monitor January 6th, arrested 1,000 people, threw all sorts of motherfuckers in jail. We have these kind of protests. We're going to dance to say Palestine. We're going to dance to say Palestine. Na 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 na. And because it's a big one, we also got the Women's March people. Susan Sarandon's here.
About babies in ovens and it's the rapes have
it's
all
not
been
missed. I'm sorry. You're denying the terror actions that have been made in October 7th to so many innocent civilians.
We are now in the phase that we're going to pretend that October 7th never happened. January 6th is the worst thing of all time. And the media is going to spend their time doing what they always do, which is get upset about stuff. So it's a long one. I want to play this before we actually play the violent stuff. Here is the Nets whining because schools are cracking down on pro-Hamas. Brush aside of anti-Semitism. NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and The Today Show. These are peaceful protesters. They're all that dude under the blanket who is screaming, leave Tiffany, or not Tiffany, is it Brittany, alone. But here is, leave these protesters alone.
This morning, the nationwide movement of campus demonstrations leading to sometimes violent clashes. Overnight at Emerson College in Boston, protesters attempting to form a human wall to stop police moving in, up to 100 protesters arrested. Police at the University of Southern California overnight arresting 93 people while removing tents and clearing protesters from a Gaza solidarity camp. One precinct now full of arrested protesters. These tense moments after a scuffle between officers in riot gear and a pro-Palestinian group, the university now closed to anyone but students.
It makes me feel threatened and intimidated, and I think that the anti-Semitic rhetoric must be condemned by the university.
An unauthorized protest breaking out at the University of Texas in Austin.
No, what are you doing?
Dozens arrested as officers used horses to disperse crowds, some nearly crashing into our Mireya Villarreal, who was on the scene. A cameraman filming the demonstration grabbed by police and thrown to the ground. Similar encampments springing up at Brown University and Harvard.
Overnight, chaos erupted as police tried to break up a pro-Palestinian encampment at Emerson College in Boston. As the latest flashpoint in a growing movement at campuses nationwide protesting Israel's war in Gaza. On Wednesday, demonstrators clashed with school security at USC in Los Angeles after school police ordered students to move their encampment.
Both sides of my family were displaced from Palestine, and I'm here using my voice because my grandparents couldn't.
By nighttime, police shut the gates to the school and pushed pro-Palestinian protesters out. Also on Wednesday, hundreds gathered at the University of Texas at Austin.
Security heightened at Columbia University, where student demonstrators pitched tents at the center of campus. The encampment's still in place this morning. Classes there going virtual Monday. University President Manoush Shafiq authorized the NYPD to make arrests last week.
They informed us that they had students who were trespassing. They asked us to come onto campus to take action, and we did.
Demonstrators demanding institutions divest from companies with ties to Israel. Columbia PhD student Linnea Norton tells us she was one of the arrested and just wants her voice to be heard.
We're all just sitting cross-legged together in a circle, and then the NYPD came in and arrested us one by one, immediately zip-tied us with our hands behind our backs.
Tensions have been mounting at universities since the Israel-Hamas conflict began last October. Many Jewish students telling us they don't feel safe on campus.
How has this hit you, the demonstrations over the last couple of days?
It's not only like mentally exhausting, I found these past few days it's been like physically affecting me, and I got told that the Israeli flag is a Nazi flag.
The mood on campus is tense. Columbia announced that to ensure safety, most classes on its main campus will be hybrid for the rest of the semester. It has also more than doubled security after a recent series of anti-Semitic incidents. But on many campuses, police trying to contain the demonstrations have been facing resistance.
A chaotic scene at Cal Poly Humboldt in Northern California as police in riot gear clashed with pro-Palestinian protesters. And at New York University last night, the NYPD broke up a pro-Palestinian encampment. The demonstrations have spread to campuses across the country, with pro-Palestinian supporters angry over Israel's war in Gaza, and many Jewish students expressing fear after incidents of anti-Semitism. Like near Columbia University, where some demonstrators chanted anti-Semitism.
You know, Columbia University extended the deadline for the tent encampment here by 48 hours, but that deadline runs out tonight at midnight, and the students I've spoken with here say they aren't going anywhere. As you mentioned, tension around the country is growing, it's spreading, it's leading to dramatic confrontations with police and dozens of arrests.
The temperature this morning on some college campuses reaching a boiling point. A growing number of protests forming over the ongoing war in the Middle East at campuses across the country, some leading to standoffs, including the University of Texas at Austin. Students and police clashing during protests Wednesday. More than 30 were taken into custody. Protesters gathered outside the jail, with some faculty saying in a statement they would not work today. And overnight, police and protesters also clashing at the University of Southern California. Officers hit with objects arrested more than 90 people, though it's unclear how many were students. And back on the East Coast, a dramatic scene at Emerson College, where students are encamped on an alleyway in the middle of downtown Boston. Police and demonstrators facing off.
Steph, it seems like every day we're reporting on another campus where these protests are breaking out. So what happens next?
Well, they're here to stay, according to the students I've spoken with here at Columbia. And we were walking around that encampment yesterday, Hoda, and I was struck by how well organized they are. They have a lot of food coming in. They have good tents. The weather is not that bad. They say they are willing to stay here until their demands are met, even if it means weeks. And in just 3 weeks, this campus is going to have its graduation, and it takes place exactly where that tent encampment is set up right now, Hoda.
All right, Stephanie Gosk. Back here in New York, Columbia University has moved all classes online today as pro-Palestinian demonstrations continue on and near the campus. Although there have been peaceful protests, a series of apparently anti-Semitic incidents near campus prompted one rabbi at the school to call for all Jewish students to leave. However, Jewish groups on campus pushed back on that, saying students should stay. The university president has also faced criticism from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle after testifying last week about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Now, this all comes as Jewish students prepare to observe the first night of Passover tonight.
There is growing concern about safety at the school as protests stemming from that Israel-Hamas war intensified. The president of Columbia saying overnight, everyone needs a reset. This after a fifth day yesterday of Columbia pro-Palestine students protesting. They want the Ivy League school to divest its stocks, funds, and endowment from companies that they say profit from Israel's violation of international law and Palestinian human rights.
Let's move to the ongoing protests and safety concerns at Columbia University. Overnight, the school's president announcing that all classes will be virtual today. Pro-Palestinian protesters have been demonstrating on campus for days.
Last week, more than 100 protesters were arrested on campus, and now a rabbi is urging Jewish students to return home as soon as possible, citing concerns over their safety, and classes today are happening virtually. All of this ahead of Passover, the Jewish holiday, which begins at sundown tonight.
The campus tense amid demonstrations denouncing the Israel-Hamas war. Last night, in a press release,
as we come on the air, New York authorities are issuing a warning ahead of Passover. Officials say the holiday, which begins tomorrow, may serve as a catalyst for extremist groups and individuals to commit acts of violence against Jewish faith-based communities. This comes as tensions are rising at Columbia University here in New York over the Israel-Hamas war. More than 100 people have been arrested in recent days. A rabbi at the school confirms to ABC News that he strongly recommended to Jewish students that they go home and not return to campus because of what he called extreme anti-Semitism at the school. A New York congresswoman is calling for the university's president to resign. And tonight, the White House is condemning calls for...
And so colleges and universities have to do three things, and I'm pretty clear about this. One is they do have to allow space for students to protest. I said, you got to give them an outlet. The students are allowed to protest. This should not be a shock to anyone with teenagers or young adult children. They have strong feelings and they're passionate, because if you just immediately go to arrest, it's going to cause, I think, some of the what we're seeing on air, which is nothing's happening and then lots is happening. You want to give students space, as long as you're protecting students who want to go to classes, Jewish students, if they're targeted. The second is you have to have off ramps. You have to, in terms of these colleges and universities, you've got to give students rules about what they are and are not allowed to do. Maybe this happened at USC, but they have to be clear about, yes, you can protest, no, you can't block a building, and this is what's going to happen if you block a building. And then third is, of course, then is exert your outcomes, right? I mean, in other words, these kids who are violating these rules, these students, then have some sort of punishment. And whether you need the police or something less than that is each college and university's decision. What are the rules of engagement? We cannot put police officers, especially non-university police officers, as we've seen in some of these jurisdictions, just out there fully armed, terrifying students who are... Maybe they just view themselves as just expressing their dismay with the war or their criticisms of the Biden administration. So what are the rules of engagement? The second is there a reach out, as we're seeing in some of these colleges and universities, to these student organizations to engage them on what is and is not appropriate activity? In other words, we don't have to treat the protesters as enemies. They just disagree with the institution or they disagree with the government. And that can help de-escalate as well. And then third is the punishment that we're talking about. If someone is violent, if someone is threatening students.
A massive NYPD presence was around the campus as a growing number of Jewish students report feeling unsafe.
It is complete anarchy.
Students like Andrew Stein, who says he was on campus late Saturday night for a pro-Israel counter-protest, but left terrified by an angry mob.
They started saying in Arabic, Hamas, Hamas, our beloved, please bomb Tel Aviv.
Stein says this video shows him being followed off campus.
Me and my friend had water poured, physically poured in our face.
At the pro-Palestinian encampment in the heart of the university, heated confrontations.
Go back to Poland is not anti-Zionism. That is anti-Semitism, and that was said.
The pro-Palestinian students we spoke to say they have no knowledge of any anti-Semitism on campus Saturday night.
Anyone who makes any threat to any Jewish student, we oppose you. We do not associate with you.
The mood on campus is tense. Columbia announced that to ensure safety, most classes on its main campus will be hybrid for the rest of the semester. It has also more than doubled security after a recent series of anti-Semitic incidents. But on many campuses, police trying to contain the demonstrations have been facing resistance.
A chaotic scene at Cal Poly Humboldt in Northern California as police in riot gear clashed with pro-Palestinian protesters. And at New York University last night, the NYPD broke up a pro-Palestinian encampment. The demonstrations have spread to campuses across the country, with pro-Palestinian supporters angry over Israel's war in Gaza, and many Jewish students expressing fear after incidents of anti-Semitism. Like near Columbia University, where some demonstrators chanted anti-Semitic slogans. In one video, a protester can be seen holding a sign near Jewish students that reads,
okay, how about this one? This is really nice. A Jewish teacher refused to be let into NYU.
Cass, are we not going to let the media in? Is the university keeping the media out? This is the COO of the university. Are we not letting the media in?
My
card has been deactivated? Yeah. Why?
Can you back up, please?
Wait. Whoa. Everybody, my card has been deactivated. This is Cass Holloway, the COO. This is Gerald Lewis. They were in the meeting where I asked them if Hamas is a terror organization, and they couldn't say that it is a terrorist organization. Why? I'm a professor. Why can't I?
Shy, we are willing to take you to the math lawn.
I am a professor here.
We are columnists. We have a right.
Whoa. Everybody quiet. I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support...
Here's another idea, because they're going to buckle into those kids, because all they care about is the loudest voices. And the loudest voices, this reminds me of a scene, and I know I hate being biblical on the show, especially after the last show, which I really wanted to take down, because the sexual shit was too much for me to talk about. I don't like talking about shit like that. I'm a private guy. This reminds me of the fucking Bible with Barabbas. You watch the King of King. Your people are louder, said the Roman guard, because Barabbas got let off when the Romans would allow one prisoner to live, and Jesus got crucified because his people weren't that loud. We live in those times right now. This is our times. This is exactly what we live. The fact of the matter is, we let really loud bullshit people that don't speak for the 70% of the country, they get to say whatever the fuck they want. The rest of you need to shut the fuck up. Now, I remember once again that it was really wrong to go and be at people's house. These people are for Schumer at his house.
They're supporting genocide!
Make sure people understand, nobody's not letting Gaza live. The Israelis are literally fighting them and ensuring they get UN support because Gaza wants that shit trashed. Yeah, that's what's happening. The media didn't show you this. This is worse than January 6th, the day of pigs, the war of 1812. Cain and Abel, the fucking Garden of Eden, when fucking Eve bit a goddamn apple.
We're on the sidewalk!
You're- oink, oink, piggy, piggy. Fuck Israel, fuck the U.S. That does not look like a peaceful protest. How about this down here? Oh, wait a minute. Every POTUS is a war criminal. Nope, we're not showing that on TV. How about this? An old lady wearing a goddamn kofta.
There were more angry protests at Columbia University today after police cleared out a pro-Palestine tent city on the elite college campus.
The weeks of protests here at Columbia are being called the most serious since the Vietnam era. The students are furious that the police moved in to tear down their tent city. Well, today, the students are back. The encampment is being rebuilt, and the chaos on campus continues.
Police made 113 arrests, leading away groups of students with their wrists zip-tied. The daughter of radical Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was among those detained. She has been suspended.
All of you,
why are you so close?
What up? There were ugly scenes at the gates of the university as some students struggled with the police.
Why are you doing this to me?
Actress Susan Bang Sarandon joined
my
the protesters
drunk.
Today.
Throwing
tensions rose further
Bang
overnight
drunk.
After news spread of Israel's missile strike on Iran. Retaliation for that massive attack by Iranian drones and missiles.
How about this one? USC, I
now
think.
Now one chaos erupts at USC during a pro-Palestinian demonstration with authorities moving in. Good afternoon. This is the KTLA 5 News at 1. I'm Glenn Walker.
And I'm Lou Parker. Protests like this have been taking place at college campuses across the nation.
Demonstrators are calling for an end to Israel's attacks in Gaza. KTLA 5's Lauren Lister live on the USC campus with an update on the situation here. Lauren?
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Lou. Tensions flaring here on the campus of
tensions
USC.
Flaring.
Take a look behind me right now. Peaceful protesting after things became
always
a bit chaotic
peaceful
earlier.
Protesting. Why is it when the Tea Party would go do things, it wasn't peaceful protesting? Why was it when Trump had a bunch of people on the South Lawn and they're all just fucking talking and he said go and protest peacefully and he wasn't even done and for six more minutes he was talking but they were breaking into the Capitol? That's not peaceful protest. Oh, and they didn't even break into the Capitol. They got let in the Capitol. That's not peaceful protesting. This, peaceful protesting. KTA News.
So this is a group that says that they are occupying the Alumni Park area of campus in solidarity with Palestinians and in solidarity with movements that we've seen on some other college campuses where they are asking their universities to divest from Israel in support of Palestinians and in opposition to the war in Gaza. Right now, they are circling the park, but earlier things were heated. Take a look at this video. So a lot of pushing, a lot of yelling, public safety officers and protesters both sort of involved in a back and forth that was really centered around one activist that had been detained and had been put into a public safety vehicle, and protesters were calling for him to be released, and they were, you know, trying to block the police or the public safety vehicle, and we saw public safety officers trying to keep them back. And
they're just a bunch of kids. There's nothing wrong with this. January 6th, this is the end of days. We had people bludgeoned with fire extinguishers. The media was making shit up, but not this. Oh, it's just a little scuffle.
In that whole crowd, there was some different moments of pushing and yelling, and ultimately, public
yelling,
safety officers did
pushing,
allow the gentleman
yelling.
Who had been detained to go free. After that, things calmed down, and the scene became what I showed you live, which was demonstrators protesting. This all started the sort of moments of tension and conflict with this. Take a look.
Free, free Palestine! Free, free, free Palestine!
Got a beat. Got bait. Free,
so
free Palestine.
So this video should be showing the moments where public safety officers moved into Alumni Park, removing tents and banners. This is something that, it is our understanding, is not allowed on the university, and a public safety officer telling me that the activists, the students, the demonstrators have been told that they couldn't have tents.
Oh, here's another one.
You know, but things have changed dramatically, and we have our Conan Nolan, who's following all this from the newsroom. Conan, what are your thoughts on all of this? I mean, tensions were rising already.
Right. A couple of observations. First off,
If you noticed in the pictures that we had of the security on campus at USC, they were bareheaded or wore uniform hats. That's a calculation. They're not in riot gear. There's a suggestion has been in policing that if you gear up for a potential violent conflict, you invite that kind of conflict. So they've gone out of their way, as you can see here. Nobody's in riot gear. They're doing what they can to stop the encampment from starting. I think that's probably key. They've seen what the university administration has seen what happened at Columbia, where they had a tent city set up.
So it really this goes on. There's so many hours of footage I could show you. I'm not going to. I'm just going to show how we ignored bloodthirsty rants.
But what protesters are defending as free speech, some Jewish students call hate speech.
Freedom of speech is very important, and I'm very for that. But I think there is a point where the university itself has a duty to protect all of its students, including the Jewish ones.
And overnight at the epicenter of the pro-Palestinian demonstrations, Columbia University ramping up security as counter-protests from outside groups marched near campus, demonstrators clashing on campus. The clock is ticking on negotiations with students on site of the encampment, though with no clear deadline from the university.
I'm absolutely worried what happens if the university brings in the NYPD. I think it's going to change the university forever.
And it does appear Columbia University is still preparing to hold its graduation, scheduled to happen in less than 3 weeks. Walking around,
here's Reed.
I saw, Mark, these students singing and singing about peace and singing salam, singing words of peace. So it just didn't square with what I was even hearing.
Words of peace. My fat ass.
Hearing on television and television commentators saying was shrieking anti-Semitism. I didn't hear it.
No, I was there yesterday, and it was very peaceful and very moving. The one of the
mostly peaceful. We're back, dudes. We just dusted that shit off from BLM. We rolled it on out. Here it is. Mostly peaceful. These kids just want love. Love.
Institutions affiliated
and
with Columbia, of course,
and dead Jews,
seminary,
and dead U.S.
students held.
That's not as a Muslim. Why is he even down with? Oh, he's a Muslim. That's why.
His Sunday worship service and serve communion there on the campus, even to those beyond the gates who couldn't get in. So this betrays the imagery of there being violent rhetoric spewed. I will say this: I do.
So I got to put fix in my nose. My fucking head is killing me.
And
I shouldn't have walked this morning.
But as Mayim said, these are outliers. And in the movement, we've always had a
It happened at Black Lives Matter rally.
Yeah, you've got provocateurs.
Oh, yeah, outliers.
That's, in general, it's not a good idea to generalize what's going on. These are peaceful and nonviolent demonstrations.
Let me, what do you make of the leaders of your school seeming, I guess, to appease maybe members of Congress that have been all over your president and wanted to resign, calling the NYPD on you all?
It feels like it's been a McCarthyite campaign to try to equate our peaceful protest calling for them to divest from violence, and then they're calling us violent instead.
You have people amongst us in the beginning that believe it's okay to kill a Jew. They got people amongst them who believe that nothing happened on October 7th. It's all fucking made up. It's in your fucking head. There's a difference between BLM, who now we see is a bullshit organization that built billions of dollars off motherfuckers and did nothing with it, and Hamas, a terrorist organization. It even blew up on the beautiful, peaceful stage of CNN.
Look, I think the anti-Semitism stuff, particularly Passover, is a big issue. It's a legitimate issue to talk about. It's a serious issue. And I think there's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff going on out there. But when you're saying you're Hamas, when you're praising Hamas, when you're praising Hezbollah, when you're saying you're going to globalize the Intifada.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but there. Everyone
I'm going to finish my point. It means you're pro-terrorist. If you are celebrating Hamas, you're a pro-terrorist.
I'm not disputing that. What
okay,
I'm saying,
that's my point.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are selective quotes that are being taken, often not from students themselves. In the encampments in Columbia, they have said this. There are Jewish students who are actually part of this. And they are being used to say, wait, let me finish my point. No,
so,
that's true. But just would say more broadly, when people are calling for action, like Representative Gottheimer, what are they actually calling for? You've already had police go on.
If the people in those encampments, whether they're Columbia students or not, if the university can clear them from that encampment, then that is something the university can do.
But they've already put, let me just say how we got here. Columbia chose to bring police to clear the encampment that inflamed the situation to where now you're seeing these protests spread to Yale, to New York University and beyond. Many people have said that the action of bringing police into a group of people who are already feeling that they are sort of representative of the oppressed, who are inspired by what happened with George Floyd in 2020 and seeing what is happening in Gaza, that has only really acted as a catalyst here. And so I wonder at the wisdom of bringing in the armed police into what is essentially a university campus.
I question the wisdom of having a double standard that says it's okay to shout hateful pro-terrorist things at Jews, but you have to have
no one
total
is endorsing that.
A lot of people are endorsing that. A lot of people aren't condemning it. Yeah, a lot of people aren't condemning it. And I agree with you. Universities and the Democratic Party and the left have a huge problem trying to figure out how to cut this Gordian knot that they've created for themselves. But that doesn't mean I have to sort of condone or not call out. I got a lot of scars from calling out horrible statements on the right over the last 10 years. I call out anti-Semitism and bigotry all the time on the right.
Of course.
I don't hear a lot of that from sort of squad adjacent type people calling out this stuff on the left.
Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. They're so peaceful. And Jonah's totally spot on. We cover this all the time. The left never, ever has to live with what they say. They just don't. Some of the slides. I got so much stuff today, I couldn't get it all in. Hamas spokesman agrees the laughable two-state solution. Carolyn Glick, there is no such thing as two-state solution. There is a euphemism for the annihilation of Israel, which is called two-state solution. That's just the way it is. To say there's anything else is a fucking joke. AOC is all over this because, of course, she's anti-Semitic as shit. This one, several here, like Reps Lawler and Esposito, are vulnerable New York Republicans in tight seats. They have played a key role drumming up pressure to crack down on students and asymmetrical police Palestinian human rights speech. Those campus areas, GOP-led, they need to lose. Her next one. I'm going to this page just didn't want to open. Disturbing reports continue to emerge about mass graves in Gaza, in which Palestinian victims reportedly stripped naked with their hands tied, prompting renewed concern of possible war crimes. Does anybody believe that? Anybody? I don't think anybody believes any of that shit. Christine Anamabapur, we just want to give him dignified burial. Overwhelming grief is a mass grave containing over 300 bodies have been discovered at Nasser Hospital. Palestinian claim they discovered a mass grave dug by Israel. Credulously tweeting a UN report is bad. Hamas claimed there was a mass grave, but GPs show at the location exactly where Palestine had buried dead on the hospital grounds. One that's get debunked, they'll move on to the next lie. Because any moron that does even the smallest amount of fact check will discover it was Gaza government that buried the dead. We don't fucking check that shit. Why would we check that shit? Gaza gets to do all sorts of shit. They bombed the hospital. No, they hit your guns next to the hospital and they blew up and blew the hospital down. It was just like Iraq. This is a New York NYU protester describes the ordeal of arrest. Okay, I need to do this right. Hold on a second. Pretty sure I have this stuff. Tell me I'm not fucked up again. Fans, tell me I'm not a dumbass. oh, God, I fucking hate being sick. Piano. There it is. After abducting, let's try it again. After abducting me and 100 other students, NYU students plus faculty yesterday, NYPD female officers in holding cells stole my possessions, then talked about it in front of others that were detained after I was released, bragging about how they were teaching me a lesson for protesting. These people have no interest in protecting or serving anyone but capital. Most of them are white supremacists, even if they are black, brown. The way they move and operate reflects a deep disdain for the black, brown people. They target, harass, surveil, police. They train with the ILF, learn their logic, exchange tactics, and so on. Palestine is never far. Girl boss guru. Yeah, she's an IDF piece of shit, or Hamas piece of shit. Yeah, that's nice. That's so nice. That's so nice to read these people. These people are such amazing people. They're good people. You are garbage. You're garbage. If you believe it's not okay to decapitate babies and to rape Israeli women and steal people. Police sound people sound off on AOC's condemnation of police enforcing the law against protesters. I think I have this one. I know. Calling in police enforcement on non-violent demonstrations of young students on campus is an escalatory, reckless, and dangerous act. It represents a heinous failure of leadership that puts people's lives in risk. I condemn it in the strongest possible terms. Heinosity! Heinosity. Enforcing the law is bad. What are you doing? Why won't you let those kids burn shit down? They're just exercising their freedom of speech. This is a WAPO piece of fucking shit. I think I have the slide for this. Yes, we do. Here's a test. If you're pro-Israel and students formed a tent encampment in solidarity with Israel, would you support the police forcefully removing them? I think we know the answer. You'd be more sympathetic to the protesters because you agree with their cause. Another reply from Shana, whatever. And they called to murder all Palestinians from river to sea to globalize the Infada, cheered on terrorists, blocked Muslims from classes, surrounded them, intimidated them, terrified them off campus. I'd rip the tents down myself. Another one. Buddy, I don't care what side you're on. If you set up an encampment dedicated to literally calling for the extermination of an entire group, you reap what you sow. I fucking love that. That's so right. Read my statement below. Let my people go. I think there's a song in there. I'm not going to blow it up. I'll just read it because it's more of this shit. This clip is so egregious. You can't qualify by saying, well, I felt bad and bad things said. Da, 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 da. Here is the statement. If I can get it anymore, I probably won't be able to. Oh, he did leave it up. I play music, but who gives a shit? On Thursday, a video of me taken back in January began to circulate online. What I said was wrong. Every member of our community deserves to feel safe without qualification. I also want people to have the context for my words, which I regret. Far-right agitators went through months of my social media feed until they found a clip that they edited without context when I recorded it. I've been feeling unusually upset from an online mob targeting me because I'm queer and black. It's always the far-right agitators found what I said and used it out of context by playing it exactly how I said it. The left always gets to play that game. It's awesome. Fortunately, it's not my first time being targeted with faggot monkey. Yeah, I don't believe that. CUAD and Gaza Solitary Encampment have made clear that my words in January prior to my involvement in CUAD are not in line with CUAD community guidelines. I affirm the sanctity of all life and movement for liberation. Zionism is an ideology that necessitates the genocide of Palestinian people. I oppose that. All people deserve to be safe from physical harm. Palestine has been subject to decades of brutal violence, blah, blah, blah. Let's do that one time. Zionism is an ideology that necessitates a genocide. No, it doesn't. Zionism is just we have the right to have a state that was taken away from us and then given back to us. Both sides have been taken away, given back. taken away, getting back, taken away, getting back, taken away, getting back. It's been over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum longer than any of us have ever been alive, and there's nothing you can do to fucking change that shit. One side says from the river to the sea, fuck the Jews. One side says we just deserve to have our own country. Leave us the fuck alone. But it doesn't happen. They keep infringing on it. They keep fucking with people. They keep shooting people. This is what you get when you fuck around and find out with a military that gives zero fucks about your feelings. We give way too much about our feelings. We care so much about it. We fight with one hand tied around our dicks. AG Conservative, or AG Hamilton, how dare you keep smearing these protesters by quoting groups behind them and showing exactly what they say. The mostly peaceful story of 2024. Whoever's in solidarity with our corpses but not our rockets is a hypocrite and not one of us until victory. I think that's pretty good. Khamenei Lee. I don't think I got this. I didn't. Let my people go. I think that's that's Moses. I think it's Moses. Yeah, it's Moses. Am I getting it? Here's Khamenei. Western governments say the resistance front is terrorism. This comes at a time when people flew Hezbollah flags in the street in the U.S. The people of the world are supporting the resistance front because they're resisting and because they are against oppression. Good job. You know, when the official supreme leader of Iran says you're good to go, you're on the right side of history. A country that spends all its time killing innocent people by suicide bombers and other violence. The PLO still asks for fucking ripping down planes and shit. Like 1970 terrorism. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a NYU professor, Scott Galloway. Let's listen to what he has to say.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia.
Let's back that up. And push play.
What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech. I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like...
Can anybody refute that? You can't. It is what it is. This is our world. One side can burn fucking cities down, murder gay people in the street. And somehow, some way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's peaceful protesters. They're grassroots, not astroturf. But my wife, who is not political, said the coolest thing yesterday that I didn't even notice. Who the fuck is financing the same color tent? Seriously. She's spot on. It's always the same way. Buses are financed. Placards are paid for. It's all George Soros. We know that, but you can't say that because that's anti-Semitic. A Jewish person who's anti-Semitic himself. But there's some funny in it. Here's Harvard students were fucking sprayed on, which I thought was really great. And of course, we have all sorts of stuff from the media that, you know, you just always expect. This is Mother Jones. Shutting down traffic has always been an important tool for protesters, for activists. Disruption is the point. When we know being held up in traffic sucks, but business can't continue as usual with Jewish citizen, fund a genocide. What they did is, in Alaska, Arizona, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Washington, West Virginia, reduced legislation that protect citizens from these assholes. Because things happen, And then PBS runs a story about a black mother with three black kids in the car getting fucked over by a bunch of white liberals pretending to be Antifa. And they put it as the face of all these people running people over. We're going to change the picture. Because all of a sudden the story doesn't work anymore. Oh my God, we got the wrong story. That story doesn't work. It was a black person. They thought it was a white mama. Because white women are the cause of all evils in the world every 4 years when a Democrat doesn't win. Because they are under the misogyny. The patriarchy makes them vote that way. I don't know a woman who is liberal. In my world, I don't know any of them. Me and people at the gym wear right-leaning shirts. It's really weird. Well, except for the sluts that are basically naked, waiting for somebody to be feral. Feral. This is Schumer, and I just want to tie the loop on this because he, once again, was in the news. And because I think it's really important to...
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protests.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
The whirlwind. Today, SCOTUS hears a Trump ridiculous claim of total immunity. He's obviously not immune. SCOTUS is only protecting Trump and slowing his trial. SCOTUS could not have taken this case for frozen the district courts. SCOTUS speeds up trials when it wants, but not in this case. Because we were trying to, once again, rig an election by making sure the Republican leading person is not able to go on with a campaign. We did it on purpose. It's what we do. It's just what we do. We are all down with doing that. Because once again, we're garbage. We're not good people. We're not bad people. We're just garbage. So I'm going to reload something really quick. Give me 2 seconds. Do 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 boom 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 ba da 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 dun da 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 da. Let me find that fucking da da ba ba da 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 da. All right, you ready? So we're gonna get into the election time because it's always time for election. We got so many cool things to talk about. I always like starting with the guy that they're telling us that we need to follow everywhere. He's the greatest man ever.
He is
the greatest man ever. This is the greatest, the most qualified president ever. This is Biden's very fine people moment. Now, I want us to remember, there's a lot of these moments that are going to put you back in chains, racist as fuck. It's a big fucking deal. Anybody else saying out the shit, sniffing hair, rubbing people's titties, shoving a woman against the wall and sexually harassing her, but it's okay. But Trump's got to pay $400 million because he touched some lady's leg forever ago and nobody believed it. So now we did civil court with a bunch of fucking liberals in the stands, and now he's going to be broke because we thought we could make him broke and then people wouldn't vote for him. But that didn't work, so we found 80 other ways to try to get him. If you were going to really do faithless electors, why didn't we do that in 2016 when the left did faithless electors and the media said it was the greatest thing ever? It was freedom. It was democracy. So here's another Biden very fine people moment.
Late this afternoon, President Biden denounced anti-Semitism.
I condemn anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
So, he then said this stuff.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
How many times do I prove you can't be trusted? Well, we bring proved every fucking day when you get up and speak, dumbass.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
You know he derailed. And then the queen of fucking those sorry-ass motherfucking people, Hillary Clinton, got on up and did this one.
Kind of threats that you hear coming out of Donald Trump should scare every American, because with an authoritarian, you never know what side of the bed they'll wake up on. You never know who they're going to be upset with today. You just never know, because they don't believe in the rule of law. They don't believe in institutions. And therefore, if you give them a chance...
What did she just say?
Because with an authoritarian, you never know what side of the bed they'll wake up on. You never know who they're going to be upset with today.
The left over the last four fucking or eight fucking years have been mad at every demographic.
You just never know, because they don't believe in the rule of law.
Sanctuary cities, take away your gun rights. Freedom of speech is bullshit. You can't say what we don't like. You don't have the ability to say, I don't want my kid to be turned into a little girl when he's a boy, because that's transphobic.
They don't believe in institutions.
We need to get rid of the Supreme Court. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. We need to get rid of any judge that doesn't believe who we are. We need to get rid of ICE. We need to get rid of the military. We need to get rid of NRA. We need to get rid of anybody who doesn't agree with us.
And therefore, if you give them a chance to be more unfettered than he was in his first term, when he was trying to figure out what he could do, and he had actually some people around who were restraining him, that is all going to be gone.
Pot, kettle, black. This term, we knew a guy went in the basement and had a mental crisis, can't form a sentence with a fucking thesaurus, a dictionary, and a teleprompter. Dude is fucking out there, wasted, schnockered, confused. He doesn't have a fucking clue. He doesn't have a fucking clue. So what is four more years going to be like? I don't even want to know what four more... Biden is not in charge of the country. Anybody who has a fucking pulse knows this guy is not in charge of the country. He's not running the country. He doesn't know what's going on in the country. He doesn't know anything about anything. He's literally lost. And why does she still have a microphone? I don't understand how she still has a microphone. The microphone never gets shut off for this fucking bitch.
If he ever gets back near the White House again, it will be like having a dictator. And I don't say that lightly, but go back and read Project 2025. They're going to fire everybody. Kind of.
I don't say that lightly. You've said it for fucking 8 years, lady. Seven brand new Biden gaffes the media won't talk about. This is when, once again, I only cover this shit because I'm not playing fuck goose. Oh, I didn't even catch that. I want to get this one. Hold on a second. Literally, we had the media for 4 years, and now they've done it for eight fucking years almost. 2015 to now, saying pretty much Trump is brain dead and can't walk and he's smoking crack and all this other stuff. This stuff is so fucking good. I'm so sorry. I should have pre-downloaded this, but I didn't get it. So I want to make sure I play these, because they're fucking, it's who he is. This guy, he's so fucking bad. Like, he used to be the best retail politician there was. Really, think about it. The guy was amazing. Because he was, oh, shucks, I'm a good guy, blah, 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 blah. And he was Uncle Joe. I mean, even back when he said this is a big fucking deal, I didn't think it was that big a deal. Because I'm like, well, you know, fuck it. We all say fuck. I mean, I use fuck like an adjective, a noun, a pronoun. It was, And I once again bring to you his mouth that the media won't talk about because they'd have to act like he's like Trump. We can't have that.
Kind of.
So, all right. This was what we missed in the last one.
And increase economic growth. Folks, imagine what we can do next.
Oh my God, did you hear it? 4 more years pause. He read the teleprompter. I never played this on the show. And this is just in the last couple of weeks. My uncle was a cannibal.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's 4 brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that.
2024, we have a chance to make hope and history rhyme again. Are you ready to do that with me?
Choose freedom over democracy.
Ready to move forward, not back. Are you ready to choose unity over division?
Yes.
Dignity over demolition.
Yes.
And choose truth over lies.
Truth over lies.
Choose freedom over democracy because that's America.
Freedom over democracy is fucking America. What does that even fucking mean? What does that even mean? Here, because we did this all the time with Trump, he can't understand cities and shit about Gaza.
Made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just... look what we did recently when Israel was attacked. And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked. And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway.
Now, he's always been a little brain dead. But this is his... both sides. If this was Trump, it would be both sides-ism.
Mr. President,
what's your message to the protesters?
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being moved.
Should the Columbia University president resign?
Right this way, Mr. President.
I didn't know that. I'll have to find out more about it.
If he was Trump, that would be both sidesism. That would be the fine people on both sides shit that we said was the end of days. My son sent me this, and I think it's pretty apropos. This is a Philly voter.
So, my thing is, you know, you got all these people here for this guy named Biden, right? We got a lot of people, veterans in the street, suffering. You got low-income families where he actually came to visit, struggling, but you got migrants, immigrants coming over here illegal, and they're helping people. When are you going to help the American people? That's what I would like to know, you know?
Yeah.
And then you pull our troops from Afghanistan, make us look weak as a country. Now people don't take us serious. They laugh at us. They look at us like a joke. And then not on top of that, you're not, like, mentally capable of running a country, bro. Get, you know? Like,
who is?
Trump. Trump is, listen, he's quick to push buttons, but that's what we need. We need an iron fist for this country. Because Biden, I mean, Biden, he's going through Alzheimer's. He's a joke. Trump, he don't play around, man. He gets things done, and he gets, you see action. You see action, man. He gets things done. We don't need this piece of shit in office. We need, I'm sorry, my bad. We need Biden, bro. I mean, not Biden. We need Trump. Bring Trump back, because he got things done. And
mainstream network will never show you that. Why would they? That goes why he's losing blacks and Latinos and everybody. It's just what we have right now. We have a media that chooses to once again let things go. Never fucking ever hold people accountable for what they say. Hillary was also out doing this shit again. Why are elected Republicans becoming indistinguishable villains in Charles Dick and Louisiana Republicans vote to end lunch breaks for child workers? That's not true. It's a fucking total lie. Team Trump stops on rank during attempt to mock Trump for not having time on campaign. Biden campaign response to Trump's campaign event. Biden campaign statement on Trump's campaign. He had none. We had some. So Stalinist for Biden to cheer his and other Democrats' use of lawfare to make 2024 playing field shockingly unfair. Glad you admitted to election interference. That's all they're doing. You're pointing out what we all see. You're tying him up in the court so he can't campaign, hoping that you always have bad news in the fucking queue. I was in the gym the other morning, and literally every channel was CNN or MSNBC, because everything's liberal now, and they don't want to get people yelling at them because why do you have fucking Fox on and blah, blah, blah. They were all asking about this trial. It's the biggest trial in the history of this country ever. When he did 4 more years pause, it's inaudible. That's, once again, if it was Trump and you took the official White House transcripts and you lied, you would get a handful of dick. Handful of dick. You'd be done. You'd be fucked up. It's just, I just did a Biden. That guy, a violinist, got $250,000 loan repayment. Because he's still going around with the Supreme Court. But they love institutions, Hillary. Biden advisors are concerned that videos of Biden shuffling alone across South Lawn to Marine One have highlighted his age. So now aides walk between him and the cameras. Some Biden advisors have told Axios they're concerned that it looks bad. A metaphor for Biden's presidency. Don't address the problem. Cover it up with lackeys. Somebody else said, highlighted his age. That's the least of his problems. We all walk kind of weird the older we get. That dude's fucked up. Let's see. What's the next one? I got so much to... Scoop! Via Matt Maloney, Steven Spielberg has been quietly but actively working with the Joe Biden campaign to help choreograph August Democratic National Convention in Chicago, participating in multiple strategy sessions on how to best tell the president's story. Stacy, which lies is he going to use? Joe was raised in Puerto Rico. He lost his son in Iraq. He marched for civil rights. Story of the racist cop, compocrat, who lived off the taxpayer for half a century. His uncle literally got eaten by cannibals. Corn pop to Bozy, the life and times of Puerto Rican Jewish Catholic. Civil rights marcher, truck driving, Second Amendment law expert. You can't have a howitzer. This will be a protest, man. A Zionist in charge. How dare they? Patriotic music, flags, aviators, ice cream, a couple of dark brand memes, malarkey. Here's the deal, folks. That's it. The best one is by Sue K1717. They believe we're all excruciating stupid. Because we are, because we allow them to make a show for the Democrats and never show the real deal. When they were trying to get Trump unelected and had people in the seats not doing what their states wanted, we saw that airtime. When Hillary took over and Bernie Bros left the fucking Democratic National Convention, attacked the goddamn newspapers' fucking tents outside, we did not see them put seat fillers that they had hired, that the ads were in the paper. We didn't see that. Why would you see that? Yeah. And once again, if you just stumbled on me because of some other reason, I give a fuck about the right or the left. I'm just saying, we, the people, deserve the same thing. If the left is doing something and we say it's good, then when the right does it, it should be good. It should be opposites. But we are so critical of the right, and we're never critical of the left. Morehouse College leadership is set to hold a call Thursday. Will faculty get the chance to speak to address concerns over President Biden as a school commencement speaker next month? Morris Professor Andrew Douglas said many students and faculty are wrestling with whether or how to protest next month's commencements. I spoke with several faculty members who say under no condition are they going to sit on a stage with Joe Biden. I'm telling you, he's not fucking the man with the plan. Biden campaign is now warning the media about why White House correspondents' dinner should be in a Trump ad. So the Biden administration is openly allying with the fellow Democratic Party institution, the White House correspondents' dinner. Embarrassing. We hope everyone had a good time this week because if Donald Trump wins in November, this Saturday could also be known as the last White House correspondents' dinner. To state the obvious, Trump is a thin-skinned narcissist who, despite spending seemingly every waking moment glued to his seat consuming cable news, is constantly attacking the free press and unable to handle a little good-natured ribbing. He skipped the White House correspondents' dinner every single year he was in office because of his deep-seated insecurities and pathetic desperation to be liked by the same people he rails against. And that was before he outright banned members of the administration from attending it at all. Fun and jokes aside this weekend, Saturday's also a reminder of what's at stake with angry, vengeful Trump on the ballot. He may be a punchline, but he's also a sad, vindictive, wannabe authoritarian who shows no respect for the First Amendment or the Fourth Estate. Do you think a Republican say all that shit and it wouldn't come out as... Axios, majority of American and 42% of Democrats now agree with Trump's feelings on immigration. That's not good. Because you just opened the doors. Here's a segment that I'm going to play out of a campaign ad by Biden Co.
Fox polls in a they show a very tight race in these crucial swing states in 2024. The head-to-head matchup looks like this. Trump and Biden tied in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Biden trailing in Michigan and in Georgia in the head-to-head. Former President Trump, as you know, is back in court today in New York. President Biden out on the campaign trail over the course of this week. He was at a Wawa in Pennsylvania, and this got a few looks on social media. Watch this.
We can take that one.
You take that box?
Yeah.
I'm going to go order it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm coming right. I'm just going to order a milkshake.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
I thought you did it right there.
I thought I already ordered the milkshake. Okay, by, right now, President Biden out with a new campaign ad, though. And here's a piece of the ad that was played on CNN, and then the reaction to it after watch.
Love to tell the story about meeting President Biden, because when you meet him, this guy's as sharp as a knife.
I mean, that says it all. Again, that is from the Biden campaign, and the name of the ad is Sharp. Outkick founder Clay Travis joins me now, and Philippe Ryan is back with us again, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Strategic Communications for Hillary Clinton. Great to have both of you with us. Philippe, you know, this is going to continue to get attention. I always think that these, you know, kind of wah-wah campaign stops are always super contrived and weird, but this one was a little odd. What do you make of it?
People love seeing our presidents and our candidates go and getting fried food and pizza and ice cream and donuts. I thought this was not here or there. I mean, he went. Obviously, it just raises again. The right loves to attack age and health. I mean, I'm in awe of it, how well it's done, whether it's against Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi. Yes, Joe Biden is old, but so is Donald Trump. Donald Trump has fallen asleep multiple times this week in meetings. If Joe Biden fell asleep in meetings, we'd be spending all day talking about it.
I think that has happened, and I think we did document it. And we also talked about Trump falling asleep, and we asked his attorney about it the other day as well on this show. But, you know, this is the comparison, Philippe. Let's show Trump up in Harlem the other day and just watch a snippet of this.
Good. Everything good?
I don't know. Clay, what do you see in these two images? We're going to, you know, be watching these two men out on the campaign trail and in the courtroom quite a bit in the coming months.
If you have to run political ads saying that your candidate is sharp as a knife, he's not sharp as a knife, Martha. And the guy can't really even handle walking into a Wawa. He was trying. Did you see the video where he's trying to close the box? And then he orders the milkshake at the wrong place. This came on the heels of his last trip to a gas station where he was the only person wearing sunglasses and nobody seems to want to interact with him at all. Look, there's 4 years that separate Trump and Biden. That's true. Biden's 81. Trump is 77. There's about 20 years that separate their ability to walk and interact with people in unscripted situations. Trump is great at it. Biden's bad at it. If I were running the Biden campaign, I'd be trying to hide him to keep these disastrous videos from coming out. Biden can't walk. He can barely speak. He can read off a teleprompter. He's not sharp as a knife. He's dull as a, 80-year-old razor. And I think this is going to be ultimately the issue that decides this election. You may not agree with Trump, but you at least expect that he's going to be awake when something important happens. And look, I've fallen asleep before in really boring events like jury selection. I'm sure they'd prefer that Trump look like he's completely paying attention there. But it's mostly, right, I think, a sham trial. And this is a bad look for Biden.
Well, let's go back. You know, I mean, we could pull up these examples a lot. And, you know, we know Karine Jean-Pierre was just questioned by Peter Doocy about why President Biden said that his uncle was eaten by cannibals, which was a strange exchange, to be sure. But really what matters is what the outcome it will be in this election. And this is going to be a very hard-fought campaign. We just showed the swing state polls, Philippe, and it is a tight race. One of the interesting things, I think, in the takeaways from these new Fox News polls is what happens when you put RFK Jr. in the mix. Because, interestingly, when that happens, Trump's lead grows in Georgia but shrinks in Michigan. And then Biden takes the lead in Wisconsin under that scenario. So RFK having an impact on both sides, it looks like, in these latest polls, Philippe.
Yeah, I mean, the third party question is a tough one. It's unclear whose favor he redounds to. I'm not surprised by this because he's not clearly a Republican, not clearly a Democrat. He has anti-vax, anti-COVID views, right, but he's got the Kennedy name. So I don't think we're going to know until it's over. But look, to go back a second, look, if you're voting on the young guy versus the old guy, you're in the wrong year. They're both old. If it's about who stays awake and who doesn't, then Joe Biden is your guy because he can stay awake. If it's about who stays awake during important moments, if Donald Trump wins again, I hope he falls asleep during important moments and lets other people deal with them.
If it comes down to who can stay awake, we are in big trouble. I think you're absolutely right about that.
I know.
I've covered a lot of presidential elections. It's never been about.
Let's talk about the rest of the stuff they put out. $3.2 million paychecks. That's a total fucking lie. Everybody knows it's a fucking lie because that's not true. That's not Bidenomics. We went back to work. In past year, the U.S. has created 921,000 part-time jobs, lost 284. This is what the left does. They did it with Obama. It's just how things work. They replace things because regulations, you have to change the way you employ. I went from stores with full-time to part-time just to make it through the recession because of the regulations. Dollar Tree closes 600 stores. CVS closes 900 stores. Walgreens closes 150 stores. Outback closed 40 stores. UPS cut 12,000 jobs. Citigroup cutting 20. eBay cutting 1,000. And I didn't get the rest of these, so let me get this right. Sorry, I'm boogery as hell again. Microsoft cutting 1,900, Expedia cutting 1,500, Cisco cutting 4,000, Apple cut 600 jobs, Regal Cinema is closing 429 locations, not his fault. Kroger's closing 413, that's not his fault either, that's part of a merger. I read about this because my son works there. For them to get the Albertson-Kroger merger to go, they had to sell a bunch of stores to another company so they don't have a monopoly on the store, grocery store. Foot Locker 400, Macy's closing 150, but that has a lot to do with the gay CEO. We've covered that on the show. He went so far in on the LGBTQ stuff that people stopped shopping there. There was a huge revolt when he did the Happy Feet stuff, and it was us explaining to our little kids why dudes and drags were kissing each other when we were looking for Santa. I wrote him a letter. He told me to go fuck myself for being a bit. I closed my Macy's account, never went back. That's why they're closing stores. Walmart closed 6 stores while the U.S. Senate has passed nearly $100 billion to send to other countries. Oh, and that bill, they laid the groundwork to ban free speech, TikTok, United States. Don't speak bad about the government either. They'll use FISA to spy on you like they did over 200,000 times in 2023 alone. We are beyond taxation without representation. That's true. Also on Biden's term, household savings is down, but those people are important. Climate people, yes. 9 juveniles at Kirkland. The thing that was, I cover this because it's a Biden thing. It's happened a lot lately. 12 to 15. They don't even have licenses. They're stealing stuff. Buddy Todd in Oregon. This is on MSN, Microsoft Scott Start. It's really long, can't cover today. Historically speaking, here's what happens when gun control wins and citizens are disarmed. And it's a great slideshow from China. It's, wow. Surprises on MSN. Google, I guess on Climate Day, on Earth Day, did all sorts of propaganda. I remember seeing this, but I didn't cover it. It was unbelievable. TikTok. CCP tied TikTok announces conspiracy theories counteroffensive. So they're going to start letting people post all the lefty stuff because it's election time. Politico of all sources exposes media anti-Trump legal echo chamber meetings. 24-hour job, one day, 2020, to brief a group of lawyers, legal opponents on Zoom call. They are having multiple calls now, so everybody says the same thing. Then you have Brian Seltzer bitching because I applied for a press credential with Trump most recent rally in Schnickville and was rejected. Why would he let you come back? It's just negative. The Biden campaign doesn't do that. Then you got Mr. fucking LGBTQ took over the Onion. It's already doing liberal shit. So now there goes the Onion. Nets spend 22 minutes this week doing Biden propaganda to voters, and it's just the same old, same old, same old. And then last but not least, tell me this doesn't make sense. Unmarried women. Does that not surprise you? It doesn't surprise me at all. It's what they are. It's what they are. So I want to play two more. This is Meacham. Your patriotic duty is to vote for Biden.
But I wonder, I do wonder, again, we're talking as though this was an inevitability that it would be these two. I mean, more moderate conservatives who perhaps feel a little bit more homeless in the Republican Party, we might have been tempted to cross over in the voter base. I mean, they have now been presented with this choice where, you know, it was never an inevitability that it would be these two men. I mean, what if there'd been a different option within the Democratic Party?
Well, what if, you know, if ifs, ands, and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, as we used to say. But this is what we have. And to me, the interesting thing about the Republican Party is if you are, in fact, going to put partisanship as your central organizing principle, if reflexive partisanship is the most important thing, I would argue that you need to go back and read George Washington's farewell address. You need to read the founders that otherwise, you know, they love. You know, they love the founders when they sort of can move it around to agree with them. It's very clear that if party spirit became the organizing principle, that was going to be fatal to the Constitution. And it's very interesting when Barr said it's suicide. I mean, the idea that President Biden's leading us to national suicide, I'm not even sure what he's talking about. But Lincoln used that image in his first major speech in the 1830s. He said, if we ever fall, it's not going to be from a foreign foe. It's going to be from someone internally rising up and mastering those passions. Right. And those passions about partisanship, that's what's ruining
it.
Yeah, it's our duty, folks. Duty! Here is ABC state propaganda. Listen to this. This is about
abortion. We turn out President Biden tonight, hoping to put the state of Florida back in play this November. Tonight, the president's major abortion rights speech in Florida, with that state's new 6-week abortion ban, just days now from going into effect. Mary Bruce in Florida.
President Biden today traveling to Florida, just days before this state's strict new abortion law goes into effect, banning the procedure at just 6 weeks, when many women don't even know they're pregnant.
There's one person responsible for this nightmare, and he's acknowledged and he brags about it, Donald Trump.
It's Biden's first major campaign speech on abortion, an issue he's putting at the center of his reelection bid.
Abortion on his reelection bid. How in the fuck in name of Zeus's Christ, crap and shit, and bullshit. How the fuck can we be that bad? How? How are we that bad? That's our media. That's what we got for a media. That was all one-sided. Quick military hit. Then we run into our lighter fare real quick and close us out. U.S. Air Force B-21 Raider bomber nightmare is blood is 1.6 billion overrun for the first aircraft. And they're already saying this thing's going to be a mess. Because of all this, the new replacement for the Kiowa, which we got some of those Lakotas, but we didn't really get a new small aircraft for Scout. That got scrapped, the Farah, because they're doing the V-280, which they're going to try to make a Scout out of that, but I don't know how you do that with an airplane. And this, these overruns, and these win the bids, and then we just keep paying more, and then we don't get the aircrafts we need. Next one, which is just unbelievably not surprising, that is a commercial satellite from China managed to capture images of the U.S. naval aircraft carriers located at Naval Station Norfolk. And we didn't do anything to stop it. Navy, because we're not going to do anything about Taiwan, they're going to start using oil rigs as mini bases in the Pacific Theater. U.S. military expert says 80 drones and 6 missiles launched from Iran, Yemen, in last night's attack were intercepted. That's from the 15th. That's a shitload. This hurts my pancreas. Anybody who knows a gun, Matt will love this. That's Scopes backwards. That's a Navy commander, and they did the ad. They did that in Army, Air Force time, or Navy times. Yeah, that's pretty fucking bad. Army adds a cognitive test to track new soldier brain health, and that is one of the best steps we can have to fix TBI. We need it. It's a huge problem. Everybody has something. I have something from just getting blown up next to me. My ears are fucked up and the slight TBI stuff, not enough to get a disability, but I had cognitive change in my brain structure. And I didn't even get blown up in IEDs. That's just from being around explosives all these years. It's not good for you. So our lighter fare today is going to be Freedom Tunes, Trans Kids, and a kick-ass lanky lasso tornado that leapt across Iowa landscape. It looks straight out of Twister, and with the new Twister coming out, kind of excited, so I'm going to show a tornado.
Did you know 95% of kids with gender dysphoria grow out of it if they're allowed to go through puberty? The fact that this has been withheld from us is the greatest scandal of our time. You heard that right. When you don't put a trans child on puberty blockers and then hormones, 95% of the time they become cis and avoid taking hormones, having their genitals surgically altered, and a significantly higher suicide rate. This is trans erasure. That's right. Puberty is erasing thousands of transgender children every single year. By allowing natural hormone changes to occur, their mental state evens out and they become comfortable in their own body. In other words, genocide. And it gets even worse. Not only are 95% of trans people erased by puberty, but that only includes children who knew they were trans. What about all of the people who were never put on puberty blockers simply because they were unaware they wanted them? Now, some say preteens are too young to consent to puberty blockers, but then aren't they too young to consent to puberty? In the same way that they're not old enough to consent to being sober, or how they're too young to consent to not seeing porn, puberty is an act of genocide because it erases trans people from existence.
Forcing them, because a f***ing Republican lawmaker needed it to get elected, to go through that puberty, is that, to me, is genocide.
That's right. Genocide is when you develop the ability to spread your genes. This is well documented, as the Nazis genocided the Jews by injecting them with fertility-boosting drugs, and the Turks genocided the Armenians by encouraging them to have more children. Slavery is when you pay people, and lobotomies boost your IQ. As bleak as this all might seem, there's hope. We can save these children from genocide by ensuring they're sterilized as early as possible. After all, if children can't consent to puberty, they can't consent to the brain patterns that make them not want to be trans. We need to liberate them from all of it. So, support measures that allow every minor who asks for chemicals to be able to have them. If you don't, the trans movement will all but disappear.
I'm bad to the bone.
Bad! If you prayed more, you'd be good! Looking for you, there's Hollow!
Hollow's the number one Christian prayer app in the U.S. and the number one Catholic app in the world! Don't you pray, meditate, sleep better! Wake up to a gospel reading and reflection by biblical scholar Jeff Gavin! Work alongside Gregorian chant and Catholic lo-fi! And fall asleep at night to a Bible story read by people like Mario Lopez and Jonathan Rorney! If you use the link holo.com/freedomtunes, you'll get an extended 3-month trial! Free! Holo! Say your prayers!
Ah, some funny stuff. So that wraps up another episode of Flyover Politic Podcast. Share with your family and friends. Go to Flyover Politic with a K on SoundCloud. Make sure you like and subscribe to it. Go to Rumble 482-467. Like and subscribe to it. I'm going to try to get an old dude music review in this week. Still have no clue what I'm going to do because none of you will suggest it. So somebody suggest it. We'll go with our next show on May 30th. Year of the Lord 2024. Till then, disconnect from all your devices. Don't give the yeah yes. Thanks for listening. Take care.